You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, Squirrel Whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome to Titletown Sound, episode 82, the Lionel Aldrich edition of the show. And on tonight's program, we have Bobbo. Hi, how you doing? We have James. Hi, how you doing, James?
What's going on?
And we have Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi. I'm a little disappointed in you, Bobbo. Why is this not the Don Beebe episode? You ruined it.
Because Lionel Aldrich is cool and stuff. And because he was the first name that I found when I looked it up. Actually, he was the second, but never mind. Lionel Aldrich is cool.
That's just laziness.
Yes. Well, that too. It is Chris's turn to miss out on the show this week, so I am going to warn listeners ahead of time, all sensibility is going to be non-existent today. So basically on this edition of the show, James will be talking about tacos, Jeremy will be talking about the best cat videos on the internet, and I will be talking about a great snack that features Oreo cookies and bean dip.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Does not sound appetizing at all.
Trust me, you just take those cookies, not the white stuff in the Oreos, just the cookies. You put some bean dip in there, put it in the microwave for 20 seconds. Killer. All right, I said we're losing Jeremy already. Let's talk about the Packers instead. And the game that was the Packers against the Bears. Let's start off by talking about this interesting little running back situation that the Packers have going on right now, in that they don't seem to actually realize they have running backs on the roster, so they're putting wide receivers in at running back, and they did actually kind of have some success at that. So, Jeremy, just to make sure you're not watching cat videos for a minute here, I'm going to throw it to you first. What are your thoughts on the Packers running back situation?
I hate it / love it, but I mean, as a Packer fan, I'm not exactly happy to have the Packers going in with, you know, Don Jackson and Nile Davis last week and having to play Ty Montgomery at running back. However, it is fun to see Ty Montgomery play the position and play it well, but I just really, as a fan, am disappointed in Ted's neglect of this position, especially with six safeties and seven wide receivers and 3,000 punters on the roster. Well, it's really just one. He's pretty terrible. Anyway, so I'm not necessarily a fan of it. It is fun to watch in some ways, but where I am a fan of it is in fantasy football. I'm really hopeful that Yahoo follows ESPN's lead and makes him a wide receiver / running back so you can play him at either position. That would be fantastic.
James, what do you think?
You selfish, selfish man.
Yeah.
But seriously, Yahoo, get your act together, because I need that. That would really make things easier for me. Ted Thompson really, really, really kind of did something that I'm not used to seeing Ted Thompson do, and that's royally screw something up bad. In that there... I can guarantee you that going into this game, the Bears game, Mike McCarthy didn't say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have Ty Montgomery play running back for 65% of it. That was not the game plan. And when Don Jackson, I think that's his name, Don Jackson, I don't know, whatever. Sure. When his hand got hurt the first time he touched the ball, and then we had nobody. We had Nile Davis, who doesn't know the playbook because he had just arrived in Green Bay like 16 hours before. That really, really hurt. And it worked out because it was the Bears. And it was nice to have that where, you know, the Bears can't defend my grandma, and she's been dead for 20 years. So it was nice that that happened. But it's a whole different ballgame going forward. And hopefully they've been able to game plan something better than that, because let me tell you, Ty Montgomery coming out of the backfield for 45 plays against the Seattle Seahawks in a month and a half is going to get him killed.
Oh, yeah. I have to agree, it probably wasn't the game plan to feature him like the whole game as the running back. They did kind of get stuck in that position where they had no choice. Don Jackson hurt his hand. Just to recap here, Montgomery had 9 carries for 60 yards. Randall Cobb had 5 carries for 21. Those are your top two. Those are your two leaders in rushing stats. And then Aaron Ripkowski, Aaron Rodgers. Then you get to Don Jackson, and then you get to Nile Davis. Nile Davis, 2 carries, 1 yard. You know, he's only been on the team for a week, so it's not too big of a deal. But just having Ty Montgomery come out of the backfield. Now, Montgomery, he's very strong for a receiver. He's got a very strong upper body. One of the things he is really good at is breaking tackles. He was good at that coming out of college. I still don't want to see him going up the middle. I still don't want to see him coming out of the backfield and running, you know, straight into the gut of the defense and you know, meeting those big guys in the middle. That's not what I want to see, especially after that Cowboys game and the fumbles that he had in that game. Just, it's not something I like. He was productive at receiver. He had 10 catches for 66 yards. Randall Cobb had 11 catches for 95 yards. So two of your top 3 receivers in the game, you're also featuring at running back. It can't last forever. That's where there's an issue here. They can do it for a short time. It can't last forever. Eventually, James Starks is going to come back, and that's going to be terrible because they're going to try to feature him at halfback. And we've seen them do that before when they've had to, and he just doesn't ever succeed in a bigger role. So really, they're kind of screwed, and it has to do with the fact that Ted kind of screwed the pooch here with the running back position. We said it last week. I'll stick with that. He should have signed another running back weeks ago when he brought in C.J. Spiller. He should have signed him. Now, it's not like I was clamoring for that at the time for depth reasons. I just wanted C.J. Spiller because I thought that would be fun. But you don't need 7 receivers, and you don't need 6 safeties on your team. You probably need another running back. So if you could cut ties with somebody at one of those 2 positions and bring in a running back, I think that would have been the smarter move. So Ted kind of, he botched it.
Well, maybe Ted's just ahead of the curve. Maybe running back is going to get phased out the way fullback has been, except for the Packers. Just don't want to get you on my back on that. But, you know, running back's getting phased out. Wide receivers moving back behind the quarterback is going to be the new thing.
No.
Get with the new age movement, man.
I don't disagree with it. I don't disagree with it for, you know, 1 or 2 plays a drive or, you know, a couple plays a half. But you can't, I don't think in this today's NFL, I don't think you can make that your scheme.
Well, I'll say this. It will work. It's going to create matchup issues. It's going to be really hard to cover Ty Montgomery when he's coming out of the backfield. You can't cover him with a linebacker. He's too fast. And are you going to bring a corner or a safety up into the box to help cover him? Sure, bring a safety up into the box and watch Rodgers go over the top. It's a coverage nightmare, or it's a matchup nightmare. It creates issues. I get that. That is not where I have an issue. I have an issue with longevity of the player playing the position. He's not a running back. He played running back in high school, but, you know, like on a high school roster, there's probably like 3 guys that can actually, you know, hit. So I just don't like him playing running back for health concerns. I just don't like that.
I would rather have him do it than Cobb, though, because every time Cobb takes a handoff out of the backfield, I fully expect the stretcher from Madden 94 to come out.
Totally agree, and Montgomery is built better for that contact. I totally agree. I'd rather see Montgomery do it than Cobb, because Cobb, you're right, man. He's small, he's shifty, but he's a guy that I'm nervous about both of them. I don't like either of them coming out of the backfield, but it is what it is right now.
All right. Speaking of people trying out a new position, Davante Adams tried playing wide receiver, and it worked brilliantly this week. Yeah, kind of a coming out party for Davante Adams. And James, what do you have to say about Mr. Adams at this point?
If Davante Adams can play every week like he played this week, I love me some Davante Adams. That was the best game I've seen him play in his entire career. The stats aren't necessarily the touchdowns. He didn't go out and score, you know, three or four touchdowns, but he was there and he caught the ball, which is so amazing. I couldn't even, you know, come up with an analogy for it. He caught the ball. And Rodgers actually towards the end of the game started to look to him as a safety valve. It's like somebody he trusted, almost like he's looked at Cobb for the last couple of years. So I think Adams is finally gotten over whatever was going on and is hopefully on the path to reaching his potential. And kudos to him, because it didn't look like he was going to for a long time. So keep it up, Devontae, and I might forgive you for last year.
All right, Jeremy, you're my safety valve. What do you think of Devontae?
I'm happy with where he's at after this game. I felt like early in the season that they were going to him a lot for a guy who was dropping the football, and they kept doing it. And now we're seeing the Davante Adams we saw his rookie season. After his rookie year, I was calling him the yak monster. Yak is yards after catch, or yards after contact. So how many tackles did he break? I mean, he had 132 yards. There were a lot of moments where he'd catch the ball and had a defender right on him, and he'd break the tackle and go for another like 5-10 yards. That's what we saw from Davante Adams his rookie season, that he is the guy that when he catches the ball, he can make the first guy miss or break that first tackle. And he was good at that in college, and it translated to the pros his rookie season, that he had the issues he had last year. It's starting to come back to that. Packer fans should be excited about Davante Adams. There's no reason to not be. And that trust issue that he had with Aaron Rodgers, him continuing this success that he had against the Bears is only going to help that. I think you're going to see Rodgers going to him a lot more. Davante Adams is just a guy right now that you should be excited about as a Packer fan, because he's finally, it looks like things are starting to click.
All right. Talking about another wide receiver on the Packers, Jordy Nelson. He is still with Green Bay, right? Seems like he's been a little quiet lately. And James, I don't know, got any thoughts on Jordy right now?
Jordy Nelson is making me sad. And he...
Oh.
I know. He makes me sad. He disappears. He's like... I don't know. He's like the football version of Casper the Friendly Ghost. He's a nice guy. Aww. And you like him, and he's there, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and poof, where'd he go? He had one catch, I think, against the Bears, and it was for like 9 yards, and then he went away. And teams aren't even bothering to really cover him as well as they used to. He just can't run. He just can't run. He looked like he was running in a pool of tar on Thursday night. Now, I don't know why. I don't know if it's still his knee is bugging him, if he's not 100% from that yet, if he's got something else going on, but it's really starting to bum me out, because, you know, the whole threat to go over the top is gone when he can't run. You're not going to, you know, unless they put Trevor Davis in there and he can catch a ball, you're not going to get anybody else out there who can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeremy, do you think Jordy is maybe just going to go out for Halloween as the Invisible Man, or is there something more serious here?
Let me breathe some confidence into you Packer fans who are bumming about Jordy Nelson.
Please do.
Coming back from an ACL tear is not easy. It's usually not that first year that you come back and you start to play the way you were. Now, we may never see the Jordy Nelson we used to see, but he's not as bad as Packer fans are thinking he is right now. He did get hurt in this game. He did limp off the field at one point. He did go sit on the trainer's table, and they were looking at him. And after that, he was a little slower. Jordy Nelson is still coming back from a terrible knee injury last year. And it is going to take until next season to really start to see Jordy Nelson. So maybe this year is a bummer. Maybe not even the full season. By the end of the year, he might be playing at full speed. But don't give up hope on Jordy Nelson. He's still a really good football player. He's got to come back fully from that knee injury. And that takes time. Those tears, they never heal quickly. It's never just, okay, I had the offseason, I'm back, and everything's good. Well, I shouldn't say never. It rarely works that way.
All right, and one last note on the offense. Aaron Rodgers, Jeremy, looking better, stepping into throws now? Yay?
Yeah, I saw a lot of him stepping into throws, planting his feet, falling. He didn't fall away from passes quite as often, so he was more accurate, and that's what happens when you step into throws and you plant your feet. If you see a quarterback falling away from a pass, that pass is probably going to sail over the receiver. We didn't see that, and he had a pretty good game. I mean, a pretty good second half, I should say. 326 yards, I mean, that's what we're used to seeing from Aaron Rodgers. Now, throwing 56 times is a little insane, but we are used to seeing Rodgers put up decent numbers, and he did that. However, caveat, it was the Chicago Bears. So it's still a wait and see. Those bad habits that he had formed, he's still going to struggle to fight against those and do the things he should do until he reforms new habits in his brain. He's got to keep working hard on trusting his receivers, throwing the football up and giving them a chance, trying to throw guys open when it looks like they're barely open, not waiting for a guy to get wide open. He's got to keep working on reading the defense. And he's got to work on his technique. He's got to be setting his feet, and he has to step into throws. And he also has to follow through. That was another issue that was happening early in the season. He wouldn't follow through on his passes. He would stop. His arm would stop almost halfway, like he was hesitant to throw the football, which I think might come back to that trust issue. But, I mean, we're seeing some improvements. He improved that in the Lions game. He needs to do it game after game and keep working on it until that becomes the habit that he has. Those things are his habits, not the stuff that we've been seeing for however many games it is now, what, like 18 games? So Rodgers definitely played better. He's just got to keep working on that stuff.
All right. James, does the name Aaron Rodgers make you feel a little bit better over there?
Yes. I love me some Aaron Rodgers. And this game was, don't forget, if Cobb would have caught two touchdown passes, we're talking about a, you know, 40-point win and probably a over 100 passer rating and my undying eternal love for Aaron Rodgers would grow even stronger. But in the second half of the game especially, he really started flashing like he did for the first 9 years of his career here. And it was great to watch. He was slinging the ball around. He was having a good time. He was finding receivers. He was throwing them open. He was running around the field, making plays out of the pocket when he had to. It was nice. And I think that if he can build on that and continue that confidence going forward, knowing that, okay, I'm going to throw the ball before my receiver is completely wide open, but he's going to be there to catch the ball, I think that that's just going to open him up even more, and we're going to be right back to same old Aaron. So Aaron Rodgers is about a B+. We need him to be at least an A. So hopefully the train keeps rolling.
All right. Well,
with Aaron Rodgers, I think the biggest issue with Aaron Rodgers is that confidence issue. And like you said, throwing receivers open, throwing it to guys before they're open and knowing they're going to be there. He built trust with three receivers this week: Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, and Ty Montgomery. Regardless of if they were coming out of the backfield or not with Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery, their success is going to make Aaron Rodgers feel better about throwing them the football. Devontae Adams going up to catch passes over defenders, actually making plays on the ball and coming down with it, that's what Aaron Rodgers needs to see from his receivers. The rest of the stuff, the technique stuff, I think some of that will fall into line when he starts to trust, because I think a lot of those technique issues are hesitations because he doesn't like what he's looking at. So the trust is being built. He had three receivers play three pretty decent, well, one game, but three receivers play a decent game. He needs to continue to see more of that. But this game against the Bears is a confidence builder, and Aaron Rodgers needed a confidence builder.
And he wore that cardigan after the game. Holy mackerel. That is one of the best troll jobs. That's the best troll job he's had since the grape crush after the Vikings game a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Oh, that's just like your opinion, man. On that note, let's talk some Packer defense. Kenny Clark having a good game. And James, I want you to feel good. You were sounding kind of down about the Jordy thing, so I'm going to let you talk about Kenny Clark a little bit.
I love this defense. I love the run defense, the front seven especially. And Kenny Clark, I've been really critical of him leading up until this past week, but he played his tail off this game. And it seemed like everything started to click for him, and he started to really understand what his role is when he's on out there. And he spent a lot of time in the backfield. He was pushing guys 3 yards deep. He was mini Mike Daniels, and it was great. So I hope that continues as well.
Yes, mini Mike Daniels is perfect, because that's exactly what Packer fans are hoping for. That's exactly what I'm hoping for. That's exactly what all of you two, just two of you, because no Chris this week.
I'm really fat.
We're all hoping that Kenny Clark gets a little bit of that Mike Daniels rubbed off on him. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of that attitude, that anger, that nastiness. We want to see Kenny Clark start to play that way. We're seeing it out of Nick Perry. It does rub off on the guys around him. Like they start to soak it in and really start to play that way. And Kenny Clark's no different. He's only 21 years old, and it looked like he was more comfortable on the field, and he was playing aggressive, strong, angry football, and it was beautiful. That's exactly why this defense is fun to watch. The front seven, the aggressiveness that they play with, it makes this defense what it is, because obviously it's not the secondary. We all know that the secondary has issues right now, but the front end of that defense makes the defense what it is. And now if Kenny Clark can start adding to that, they're only going to get better. And he looks like he's ready to do that.
All right. Another guy we got to talk about, Ladarius Gunter. Jeremy, Gunter was one of the guys that we loved last season. So what up with Ladarius Gunter right now?
Gunter had a good game. We're not talking about him having a good game against a nobody. He was covering Alshon Jeffrey. There is that caveat of it was the Bears. It was whoever they have playing at quarterback. Matt Barkley, thank you. My brain would not pull that out, because really his name is insignificant to me. So, yes, he's covering Alshon Jeffrey, but when Matt Barkley is the quarterback, you know, Matty Ice is a better quarterback, and Julio Jones is a better receiver than Alshon Jeffrey. So this week for Gunter might be really tough. Let's see if he can carry it over. He did have that bad game early in the season, but he's played some really decent games too. So the Packers are in a tough spot with their corners right now, and they really need Ladarius Gunter to do what he did against the Bears, against the Falcons. They really need him to play that way, and he's going to have his chance. This week, he will have a chance to prove that he can be one of the top corners on the team. He's going to have to cover Julio freaking Jones. Julio Jones, Ladarius Gunter. Is anyone else peeing their pants right now? Because you should be. If your pants aren't full of urine, you're not listening to me. Ladarius Gunter will be covering Julio Jones. It's terrifying. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that it's not terrifying in the end. But I am doubtful. I think Julio Jones is going to put up some big numbers this week. And I love Ladarius Gunter. I think he's great. But it's Julio Jones. So, crap.
Yes, we should be clear that Jeremy is not peeing his pants with excitement. He is peeing his pants because he's very nervous about that situation. Because
I'm scared. I am scared, and my pants are wet. That is horrible.
All right. We'll let you deal with that situation for a second. James, your thoughts on Ladarius Gunter right now?
I was going to offer Jeremy a hug, but I think I'm going to go ahead and not do that.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah. Have fun with the bath, buddy. I feel like it's inevitably going to be a big week for Julio Jones, not just because it's Ladarius Gunter, he's had big weeks against everybody in the last 3 weeks, especially that he's played. I mean, it hasn't mattered who's covered him. He's gone out and destroyed secondary. So I guess the Packers' main goal should be to figure out a way to mitigate him as much as they can and keep him under control as much as they can. And how they're going to have to do that is they're going to have to control the run game first, make sure the front seven can handle the run game, and then play lots of diamond nickel packages and give Gunter a lot of safety help over the top and just hope that Matt Ryan gets tunnel vision and doesn't throw it to anybody else, because that's about the only hope they have in terms of keeping Julio Jones under wraps. That being said, I like Gunter. I like him a lot, and he had a great game on Alshon Jeffrey, but he's so inconsistent. The game against Dallas was just so bad. It was just bad, and it wasn't even like he was on anybody special. You know, Dez Bryant didn't play, so that, to me, that worries me a little bit, because if Gunter can come back and do and have games like that consecutively 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row, then okay, we're good. But until we see that every week that he goes up against a number one wide receiver, it's going to make me a little bit nervous.
You know, I should say it was Matt Barkley at quarterback. Yes, that is true. But there were a couple plays there from Gunter that were really impressive, where he broke up passes. So, I mean, he does have that going for him. He did actually play well. It's not like he just got lucky playing against a bad quarterback. He played a good football game.
No,
I think
he did
well. The answer to stopping Julio Jones is tackling. The tackling has to be perfect. He catches the ball on a 5-yard pass, put him on the ground. You can't let those plays turn into 10 and 15 and 20 yards. Tackling has to be perfect this week, because you're not going to stop him from catching the football. What you need to do is stop him from gaining extra yards. Keep him on the ground. That's what needs to happen to Julio Jones this week. He's going to catch the football.
And he doesn't like getting hit. He's one of those guys that when you put him in the ground a few times, he starts to have second thoughts. So it'd be nice if, you know, maybe even Kentrell Bryce got out there, because he likes to put people down, you know, and just somebody knocked him on his can a couple times.
Yeah, send Ha Ha Clinton Dix over his direction.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dix can bring the wood, man. Just lay him out.
Can Mike Daniels play cornerback at all?
Yeah, right? Oh, gosh.
All right. Are you allowed to hit people with wood nowadays in the NFL? I thought they banned that.
They did ban it 2 years ago, but if you can hide it somehow, you're fine.
All right, so Hacksaw Jim Duggan may be in luck after all. Gratuitous wrestling reference. All right, wrapping up the defense. Clay Matthews, I mentioned the Invisible Man earlier. James, any idea where Clay Matthews is?
I know where he's not, and that's playing football for the Green Bay Packers. But to answer the question, I don't know. This seems to be something he likes to do, just take a powder for 3 or 4 games at a crack and lay back and hope for the best, which is supremely frustrating. But it is what it is. And honestly, the way that the rest of the linebacking crew has been playing, we haven't really needed him all that much.
You are absolutely right, James. With the way that Nick Perry has been playing, Kyler Fackrell has also been playing really well. Dayton Jones kind of disappeared last week, but Dayton Jones has had a good season. So with those guys stepping up and playing well, it is okay for Clay Matthews to take a few games off. I do feel like this is a conversation we have every single season. Where's Clay Matthews? Oh, he's taking a break. He will be back. He'll play well. Just give him some time. Clay Matthews is still a good player. This is the same as that Jordy feeling that a lot of people have. Clay Matthews isn't done. Just let's slow down. I heard some people talking on the radio about Clay Matthews as if he's possibly too far past his prime, maybe time to move on. Now, he is making a lot of money. Maybe you want to restructure his contract if he continues to do this kind of thing. But Clay will be back towards the end of the season, or, well, in a few weeks, and you'll see him making plays. And those young guys will continue to play the way they've been playing, and it's going to be all right.
All right. Before we go to break here, we got to talk about some other guys that have been disappearing from the Packers lately. Chris Banjo and Jared Aberderis, both on injured reserve. And what was Aberderis' thing? He's got a bruise?
Bruise. He's got a bruised leg or something.
He's got a bruise covering 85% of his body, we think, or something like that. And Banjo
well, it has
some...
to be. To put him on IR for a bruise, it have to be his entire body, because that is the most asinine thing I have ever heard in my life.
There you go. And Banjo's got a problem with a string or something. And Demarius, thank you for that, those of you who laughed, by the way. Randall had surgery, so other guys are getting called up. We got Whitehead. I don't even know his first name coming up.
But, Jermaine.
James, do you know his first name by chance?
I believe it's, hey, look, there's a.
It's hey, Jermaine.
Oh.
It's hey, still Jermaine.
Right now, it's still Jermaine as we speak?
It's also James right now. Wait, Jermaine right now. It's not James.
What?
Maybe his name is James. I don't know. No, it's definitely Jermaine. His name is Jermaine.
All right, and there's, of course, the other great name, Geronimo Allison, who apparently Mike McCarthy said he looks different than he did now than he did at the end of the preseason, which I, as soon as you told me that before the show, I thought that means, well, that means Geronimo Allison's going to be playing running back now, because that seems to be how this thing works with Mike McCarthy, but I don't know, Jeremy... A lot of roster moves going on lately, and Sam Shields and Eddie Lacy being hurt and out for probably the next 12 years. Your general thoughts, real quickly, on the massive roster moves.
I hate the Aberderis move because I like Jared Aberderis, and being put on IR for a bruise is embarrassing. But at the same time, they really needed to make space on the roster, and I'd rather see Aberderis be put on IR than cut, which probably would have been the other option. Now, where I really think that this is stupid is you have a need for running back, and instead of bringing in a running back, you decided to promote a receiver because you have to stay at seven receivers. You just have to. You have to have seven receivers. That is the new rule for the Packers. And then also to bring a safety up after putting Banjo on IR is equally as annoying, because you don't need six safeties. You don't need six safeties. You need a running back, even if it's just a body, even if you call Bobo to play running back. You just need some depth on your team. I'm not a fan of those moves, because I don't think you need seven wide receivers and six safeties, and I've said that before and I'll say it again. I just think that that's stupid. They are in a bad way at defensive back. Maybe they could, not even maybe, they could use a freaking corner right now. They have Demarius Randall's going to be out for a month. They're playing Ladarius Gunter as their number one corner. He's going to play against Julio Jones, which I know we covered, but I wanted to say that again for anyone who didn't hear it. He's going to cover Julio Jones on Sunday.
Keep depressing
no!
us.
No!
Jeremy, take it easy. You just changed your pants.
You're right. Demarius Randall is going to be out for a month. Bring in a corner. Bring in a running back. Fill those depth needs. Do something smart. I love Ted Thompson, and he always does smart stuff. I think he is the best GM in the NFL, even though he doesn't touch free agency, which drives me crazy. I still think he is a genius. He does a fantastic job, but I just think he has botched multiple things on this roster this season. And this is one of them. Those positions need depth more than you need safeties and wide receivers.
Yeah. Stupid. Well, they did have Crockett, and they let him go. So, James, your thoughts on all the moves?
Actually, Crockett is on IR.
Yeah, Crockett's on IR.
I forgot that last week.
Who injured
him? He's on
it?
IR, and people keep asking. I've seen it on Twitter asking if he can come back on IR. But because he wasn't on the 53-man roster to start the season, he is not eligible to return to the team off of IR. He will be on IR for the rest of the season.
Oh, very sad. All right, James, at the risk of bumming you out, what do you think of all these moves?
I'm not bummed out, man. I'm in a great mood, because I know that Ted Thompson is probably not going to be the general manager of the Green Bay Packers for a whole lot longer. And Elliott Wolf will not let this type of shenanigans happen. There's no way that any other GM in the league would have seven wide receivers and 17 other positions that we don't need backups for. So I'm not stressing it too much. We need a running back. That's probably priority number one. I mean, we have Nile Davis now. Great. Who's backing him up? A wide receiver. That's not cool. It's just not. We need, and until James Starks comes back, we're living and breathing on Nile Davis's performance and his health. And I don't like that. So at this point, honestly, it is what it is and they can't fix it. Aberderis apparently, you know, this is, first of all, his reputation is screwed now. He had a reputation as being fragile before. Now he's on the IR with a bruise. Good luck getting over that.
Stupid.
It's so stupid. I feel like they could have at least thrown him a bone and said he, you know, did something to his knee or something. But no, they rubbed it in and said you have a bruise. If I was Aberderis, I'd protest. But so I would. I would just show up at Ted's office every day and be like, I have an MCL. But it would.
Good,
they're going to be okay. It's next man up. I'm not worried about it. Starks will get better in a couple weeks, and we'll be okay. But it just really irritates me that the Packers are in this position to begin with.
Starks will get better physically, but not as a running back. Remember that. Nile Davis is officially the backup in my mind, just to be clear on that. And mainly because of what he said in the media this week, he admitted that he knows the running game, but not the passing game. So you can't put him on the field and pass the football with him because you can't trust him to block. And he told everyone that you can't trust him to block. So now Davis, not quite ready. He said he would be in a week, but we'll see.
Indeed we shall. And on that note, we're going to go to a break and we will be right back. And we got a lot of interaction from you guys coming up, so you'll want to stick around for that because that's going to be pretty cool. So, quick break. We'll be right back with voicemails. Stick around. Catching flies in his mouth, tasting freedom while he does, then calling back. Babo here. Time again to mention our friends over at What's the Score, the Sports News Quiz. Now, I've told you before about the format of the show, and I've told you about the panelists they've had, like TMJ4's Lance Allen and WISN's Dan Needles, sports experts, right? But I've got something special to tell you this week. Our very own James Corsmo is a panelist on this week's show. Yes, Titletown Sound makes its debut on the panel as they talk World Series trivia. Now, I can't tell you how James did, of course, but you can find out by checking out What's the Score on Spreaker.com, iHeartRadio, and of course their website, WTSSportsQuiz.com. Their website again, WTSSportsQuiz.com. Go ahead and check them out, after you're done listening to us, of course.
Hey, Titletown Sound listeners. We appreciate you listening to us every week, and we have a question, a favor actually, to ask. Could you give us a rating? Look, does the podcast make your ears bleed? No? Good. Then give us a rating on iTunes. It helps us so that people can find us easier, can search us, and our podcast shows up in the ratings. When you rate us and give us a review, it makes us more visible. And hey, don't you want others to have to suffer through this podcast just like you do?
Welcome back to the show. It is time to hear your voicemails, because we got a whole bunch of them this week, so this is really awesome. Looking forward to this. If you guys are ready to roll, we have a voicemail here from Austin, great fan of ours, from Boston, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Nope, Austin is not from Boston. This is the Austin you're thinking of. He's a Red Sox fan.
Okay.
But he lives out in, like, one of the Dakotas or something. He's just kind of out there in the middle of that nothingness area.
All right, well, I'm sure it's lovely there, even though the Red Sox aren't playing these days. Hey, a lot of Red Sox. A lot of Red Sox helped me win a fantasy title, or at least a, you know, with a team that I co-own. So that was awesome. So let's play that voicemail from Austin.
Greeting, Titletown Sound Off friends. This is your friend from the Plains, Austin. Just wanted to check in after that magnificent victory. I know it was against the Bears. As much as I would like to just marginalize what was done tonight, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that douchey fan right now. I thought the team made a lot of steps forward this evening. I thought Rodgers and company looked much more in sync. The defense was good. Yes, again, I know we have to admit it was against the Bears, but still, I'm taking this as a positive. I am going to carry my optimism forward yet another week. I feel like I should just parlay this. It didn't work out last week, but hell yes, it worked this week. So I'm just looking forward to continued success. I think this is a building block league. It's step by step. I'm not in any way, shape, or form ready to concede that the Vikings are somehow going to repeat as NFC North championship, as NFC champions, excuse me. Absolutely not. Sorry, I had to make sure I met the 4-beer minimum, and I'm at 5, and I'm really indulging in some nice double IPAs right now. So, anyway, excuse me. Before I say anything completely ridiculous or just, you know, all the while completely make a fool of myself, I will close with a great victory tonight despite a depleted Packers team. Are they back? I don't know yet, but we're on the right track. I'm optimistic as always, and I'm really happy with what I've seen tonight. So thank you, gentlemen, for all that you do, and looking forward to the next podcast. Go Pack, go.
All right. We, of course, encourage responsible drinking here at Titletown Sound. And I guess speaking of responsible, I can't throw it to Jeremy. So, James, your response to Austin's thoughts there.
I love your enthusiasm, Austin. I love it. Keep it coming, buddy. And I, too, am excited and happy. And I was very happy that night. And I continue to be optimistic about the Packers' future. So, thanks, Austin.
Very good. Jeremy.
I feel like I say a lot of negative things, but if I could paint an overall picture of how I feel, I do feel like they've built some positive things, and that's important. I think that they're trending in the right direction. They've shown flashes of what we want to see on offense. I think things can continue to improve, but you're depending on McCarthy to continue to go down the path that makes the most sense, and he hasn't done that for 18 games, so yes, I have some optimism. I'm kind of keeping it low. I still believe somewhere in there that they can win the division and make the playoffs and make a run at the Super Bowl. But it's just, you know, it was just the Bears, and you know, I think Austin is right there with me, and I, you know, he's positive, but he understands it's just the Bears, and they need to do it again. And I think that's where Packer fans should be at in general right now. He said that he doesn't think that the Vikings can win the division, or he's not believing or conceding the division to them yet. I totally agree, because, I mean, they've lost Matt Khalil and Andre Smith, so both their starting tackles are done for the year. They have no running back right now. They have no running game. Adrian Peterson also on IR. And we saw last week that the Eagles made Sam Bradford look like Sam Bradford. So I'm not convinced that the Vikings are going to win this division either. The Packers still have a fair shot. They need to maintain what we saw in the second half, and they need to stay healthy and get healthy. But yes, there's still a shot.
All right, on to the next voicemail, which apparently is from an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Let's roll that one.
Hello, yes. This is Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. And I happen to notice that you have a slight offense problem. You could say it's quite offensive. So anyway, I just want to put my resume out there for you. You will notice that this season, that I have won games with a guy named Jimmy Garoppolo and another dude off the street. I don't even know what his name is. He just some dude Bill Belichick signed to play quarterback for a day, and we happened to win that game. And also, you should notice that I rehabilitated Tom Brady, that he can throw balls of regulation inflation now, the proper PSI. So just imagine what I can do to your Packers squad. I can guarantee more than 6 points at halftime. And I can guarantee that you will beat a Bears team who's on their eighth-string quarterback and their ninth-string offensive line in Lambeau Field on prime time in October. Now, I might be slightly tempted to call up my friend Tim Tebow because that baseball thing is not working out so well from what I hear. He thinks swinging a baseball bat's like swinging an axe and chopping wood. But I'll be glad to help you out. Give me a call. We'll win some games. Yeah. So you have my number. Give me a call. We'll be in touch. See ya. Bye.
All right. Josh McDaniels with a nice little message there. Jeremy, should we be getting back to him, do you think? Or what do you think?
I was totally interested in getting back to him until he said he would call Tim Tebow. My first question in an interview would be, can I delete Tim Tebow's contact from your cell phone? But, I don't know. That's just ridiculous. Josh McDaniels, he called the show, for real. That was really him.
That was definitely great. For real, yeah. And, total name dropper, too, mentioning Tim Tebow so gratuitously like that. James, your thoughts on Josh McDaniels there?
First of all, thanks for being a fan of the show there, Josh. I appreciate it. Yeah, bring him on. Here's the thing. If Tebow can play running back at this point, I think, why not?
Shut up.
No.
Make it stop. Make it stop.
Can Tim Tebow play cornerback? Can he punt?
Can he play Tilly?
Can he mix Gatorade?
That's harder than you think.
You have to be able to read recipes for that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to measure things, use the proper stirring technique. And
it's practically cooking.
It's exactly Tim Tebow's favorite.
It's practically cooking, Jeremy.
That's science.
So much focus. You gotta be dedicated to make that stuff. Anyway.
Well, I mean, if he can circumcise children, he can mix Gatorade, I'm sure. So it'll be fine.
Yeah, because those are the same. Let's move on to a voicemail from Michelle.
Hi, guys. It's Michelle, or at MichiGirl, and I'm just calling to say that tonight's game made me slightly optimistic, although I need a couple more wins and a more complete game from the offense against a little bit better team than the Bears to really convince me that they're firing on all cylinders again. The second half was amazing. Aaron Rodgers, he had that rhythm back again. He had that cadence, which was really nice to see. Davante Adams completely blew my mind. He was so focused and zoned in on what he had to do. And like I said on Twitter, he found his Wheaties. To have a team go for over 100 yards on the ground with 55 passing attempts is kind of insane, especially in the modern NFL era. It was a really fun game to watch after the first half was over. So cautiously optimistic, I would say, but pretty happy. Thanks a lot. Hope you guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
We hope you have a great day, too. Then you can pick which day it is. But I don't know, Jeremy, thoughts on Michelle?
Michelle is smart. I think that was a smart call. She's totally right. Cautiously optimistic is the way to go right now. There is reason to be optimistic. But just slow your roll. Let's see what goes on. They have to go to Atlanta. They have like a bajillion games away in a row. So we'll just slow our roll a bit. But I'm with Michelle. Cautiously optimistic.
All right, James, your thoughts?
Hashtag Team Michelle. I'm with you. And you were so much better than DJ. That's what? A full. That was a full house joke. Come on, you, seriously?
I get it.
I'm so disappointed, but I do.
Seriously? Come on.
I didn't get it at all. I was not on the page that page with you.
I'm gonna throw in a Gilmore Girls reference just to spite you.
I'm ashamed of everything I've ever done.
I'm ashamed of you too, if that helps. Let's move on to the next voicemail. This is Orlando.
Name Orlando, first time caller. I am a California owner, and I can smell the stale, same old crap that we've been doing ever since McCarthy, six years into this. Third-string quarterback, horrible defense, and it's 6-3. No leadership, nothing inventive, and only two running backs on the whole team? Are you kidding me? This is high school problems.
All right. Jeremy, your thoughts on Orlando's call? I mean, the running back thing, I think definitely we've talked about that earlier, of course.
Yeah. I should say for the official record, I think I sent you these phone calls backwards because as we go along here, it will be people that have only seen the first half. So that might have been Orlando's deal. In fact, he did mention the halftime score. So those were Orlando's feelings after the first half. I wonder how he felt after the game ended. But, you know, he's not wrong. It's been a lot of the same stale crap that we saw for 18 games, and it continued on. And they were playing a terrible Chicago Bears defense and playing against a third-string quarterback. He's not wrong about those things. And only having two running backs on the team is stupid. But that's not Mike McCarthy. That's Ted Thompson's failure. He's not completely wrong. I would be interested to see what Orlando had to say after the game.
All right. James, your thoughts?
I think Orlando was not having it. He was not having it. Although slight correction, 10 years for McCarthy, not 5. But the running back
slight correction. It's 11 years. So
slight correction. Snap. Correction. Don't correct me. I'm wrong. Like 92% of the time that I talk, I'm wrong. But no,
I love you.
No, he's completely right about the running back situation. No, everybody should be mad about that. That's just stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, we have a very brief message here that I feel like is, I think this one's targeting people like me, but let's listen to it anyway.
Hello. This message is for every, quote, fan, quote, who actually thought Jeff Janis was better than Davante Adams. Have a great night. I'm sure you'll sleep great.
I did sleep great. Thank you very much. Jeremy, thoughts on that voicemail?
I just want to state for the record, I never at any point thought that Janis was better than Adams. I'm totally with you there. It's a ridiculous notion that a guy who never proved that he could be on the field and run the route that's called and do the things he's supposed to do is somehow better than a guy that will do the things he's supposed to do, but drops the football. Those are both bad things, but at least Davante Adams, you know, learned the playbook and uses his proper technique while he plays football.
The amount of shade that this dude threw, it's not measurable in human terms. It's amazing and it's great and it's pure and I love it. I love it.
It was a lot of shade. Some would say 50 shades.
I think it might have been 51 shades, but I can't quite place what hue it might be.
That was the 51st shade. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Is it wrong of me to feel pessimistic just because it's one game Davante Adams just had? He didn't have five games in one.
Yes, it's wrong of you because of what we've seen since the beginning of this season. They have still been trying to get him the football all year. Yes, he had a couple drops, but yes, he's also made some plays this year. That touchdown against, I think it was against the Lions, the touchdown pass that he caught at the end of the half, Aaron Rodgers threw this ridiculous ball, and Adams went and got it. Adams has made plays this season in almost every game. Yes, he's had some drops, but he has shown that big play ability. It's there. He put it all together against the Bears. You should be more optimistic than pessimistic.
Okay, sure. I like your gratuitous use of the word couple there with couple drops. But anyway, on that note, I believe we have one more voicemail with love from Boston.
Hi. I'm calling from Boston. I'm just really, 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 really happy that the Packers won tonight. I would have been so sad. I would have cried at the bar. And I would have made my roommate cry. But I'm so happy tonight. I have class tomorrow, but it's okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Packers. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers. Thank you, Mike McCarthy. I appreciate you. And have a good night, Tiletown. I love you. Bye. Have a nice day. Go, Pack, go.
I just want to bundle you up and hug you. I want to hug you, and James wants to hug you, and Jeremy wants to hug you, but he peed his pants like 20 minutes ago. So Jeremy, oh, say God. Something. I need a minute.
That was a beautiful phone call. I love the passion and emotion, and we love you too. Thank you for listening to our stuff and calling our show and putting up with our shenanigans. Thank you.
Oh, you're my favorite person ever now. All right, James, your thoughts.
I agree with everything you just said. That was the most heartwarming thing I've ever heard in my life. Nobody's ever said anything that nice about me ever. Not my family, not my friends, not anybody. And you don't even know us at all. So thank you from in Boston, because that was what we needed. Was a little affirmation.
Hey, you know what? Not that it really matters to you in any way, but if you tweet at us directly, we will each give you a follow on Twitter. You can tweet at me. I am at @TTSO_Jeremy. James is at JK_Sub20. Bobo is at That's Our Bobo. Chris is at @TTSO_Chris. And of course, there's the website at Tiletown Sound. If you just tweet at us, we'll follow you back. We can exchange loving messages from website to fan, and you know, that was very touching, and we just really appreciate your phone call
very much.
Oh, okay. Oh, guys, we have one Twitter question that we're going to address this week. At Minity Ryan said, Rollins is projected to be out. No Demarius, no Sam. Does Matt Ryan break the passing yards record? James, I will throw that question to you first.
No, that's silly. Stop it. It's pessimism. No, he'll be like 2 or 3 yards short. I don't know what it is now, but we will figure out a way at the end of the game to keep him like... Remember when the child beater was like 3 yards away from a season record, rushing record?
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped him like 3 yards short. It's gonna be like that, except with less child beating. It's gonna be something to watch.
Jeremy, what do you think? Record? No record?
I want to say yes because I enjoy being negative sometimes. I think it's fun to do. But no, it's the record. I just looked it up. Is a ridiculous number. In 1951, in the opening game of the season, Norm Van Brocklin threw for 554 yards. That is the most in the NFL. 17 quarterbacks have passed 500 yards. I don't think Matt Ryan is going to touch 500 yards. I just don't see that happening. However, he will throw for a lot of yards.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it is time for the game that America loves. It's time for True False. And last week, I did not do so well again. I got 1 out of 5 correct. Although, I mentioned that first because everybody else only got 2 right last week. So I didn't lose that much ground, really. The current standings, you two hosers are actually in the lead with 16 correct and 15 incorrect. So well done.
All right.
You will, of course, both ultimately lose to Chris, who is only one question behind with 15 correct. And I'm in double digits, so I got that going for me. On with the questions! You guys ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Up. Jeremy's got his new pants on. And here we go. Question number one, or statement number one, which would be more accurate. Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 280 yards. Rodgers averages 249.3 passing yards per game, which is 20th in the league. Atlanta allows 294.3 passing yards per game on average. That is next to last in the NFL. So, Jeremy, Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 280 yards, true or false?
I'm going to say true. I am hoping the Packers use the middle of the field this week. The Atlanta Falcons are very soft in the middle of their defense. This is a team that just cut A.J. Hawk off their roster, and I know they cut him, but they had him on their roster, which says a whole lot about their linebackers. The Atlanta Falcons are very bad in the middle of that defense, so I'll say true. I think Rodgers throws for over 300 yards.
All right, James.
I hate to agree with you, but yes, Rodgers is throwing for three at least. I don't know why. I just have a good feeling about it after this last week showing and the fact the Falcons couldn't stop Philip Rivers on last Sunday with a Mack truck. I think Rodgers is going to be good.
All right. And, of course, I hate to agree with both of you, but I have to. So I'm going to concur and say true as well. Statement two. Matt Ryan throws for at least 280 yards. Ryan throws for an average of 335.4 yards per game, second best in the league. Green Bay allows an average of 242.2 passing yards per game, 15th in the league, so about average overall. So, Jeremy, Matt Ryan throws for at least 280 yards, true or false?
True. I'm expecting the Falcons to be able to put the ball, you know, move up and down the field easily in the passing game. You know, we'll see the pressure. I mean, the defense really needs to bring a lot of pressure, and they need to not only bring pressure, but they need to hit Matt Ryan. I think he does get there. I think that him and Rodgers are both above 300 yards in this game. And, I mean, that can be entertaining to watch, but unfortunately that's also to the benefit of the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, James.
It's true. I think Ryan's probably going to throw for more than Rodgers is, to be honest. But, yeah, it is what it is. He has Julio Jones.
Good point. I have to be contradictory, and what the heck, I'm not going to win anyway. So I will say false. He throws for 279 yards. Number three, Julio Jones pulls in at least 118 yards receiving. Jones has 830 total receiving yards and averages 118.6 receiving yards per game, both tops in the NFL. The numbers of the top receivers in the last 3 weeks against the Packers: 3 catches, 33 yards. That was Alshon Jeffrey. 4 catches, 75 yards. That was Terrence Williams, I believe, for Dallas. And 5 catches, 52 yards for Odell Beckham Jr., not to be confused with senior, of course. So Julio Jones pulls in at least 118 yards receiving. Jeremy, true or false?
True, I think he's up over 150, which is a good chunk of yards. So, true.
All right, James.
He might get that in the first half. So, yeah, true.
And I'm going to say false to spite you both again, because I just don't care anymore. Number four, the Falcons gain less than 70 yards rushing. Atlanta averages 114.6 rushing yards per game, 19th in the league. Although they're pretty injury-riddled in the backfield as well right now. Green Bay has the best rushing defense in the league once again, averaging 71.8 rushing yards per game allowed. So, Jeremy, the Falcons gain less than 70 yards rushing, true or false?
I'll say true, I think, for two reasons. You're going to see Kenny Clark continue to improve, which is going to help the middle of that defense. And the Falcons aren't going to run the ball quite as much as they usually do. I think they will experience success through the air and keep going that way. So, true.
James?
Jeremy, you're starting to really irritate me because you're taking all my answers. But yeah, seriously, stop with your Jedi mind tricks. It's true. I love this defense, and like I said last week, and I'll continue to say it, I'm gonna pick them every single week until it's proven otherwise.
I really want to say false to this, but I just don't think I can do it because the Falcons may well be signing AJ Hawk to play running back the way things are going. So I'm gonna have to agree and say true as well. And lastly, number five, the leading rusher for the Packers is not a wide receiver. Ty Montgomery led the pack in rushing last week, 60 yards on 9 carries, which was mentioned earlier. Randall Cobb also saw time in the backfield. Don Jackson had just come off the practice squad. He was declared as the starter, and then, you know, well, stuff happened. And, of course, Nile Davis had just been acquired and, you know, needs a little time to absorb the playbook. So this will be his second game with Green Bay now, and he's had a few extra days since they played on Thursday, so he's had a little more time to take things in. So, all that in mind, the leading rusher for the Packers is not a wide receiver this week. Jeremy, true or false?
False, for reasons I mentioned earlier. If you put Nile Davis on the field after he mentioned in the media that he doesn't know the passing game yet and pass protection, when he's on the field, teams are probably going to guess you're running the football, which means they're probably going to do a pretty good job stopping him. So when you have a one-dimensional guy like that that you can only put on the field in certain situations, it makes it a lot easier for defenses to defend against them. And considering the fact that he's probably going to be the only healthy running back on the team going into this game on Sunday, I have to say false.
All right. James?
Finally. Something we disagree on.
Yay
for all of us. It's for the children. No, Nile Davis is absolutely going to lead the team in rushing this week because he's going to have, I think, 10 or 11 days at that point to have learned the pass protections. And Mike McCarthy has this thing where if he does something and it's successful, he stops. So last game, it was successful to run Montgomery out of the backfield. You can't expect that to happen again. You just can't. He won't. So, Nile Davis, he's going to get like 42 yards, but he's going to lead the team in rushing.
I hope you're right, and I hope you can come back and shove it in my face, but I think that is a pipe dream to think that he's going to... I think he's probably going to get like 2 or 3 carries again. That's what we're going to see the same thing from him this week as we saw last week, and they're going to maybe next week then roll him out as the starting running back.
It won't matter if one carry is for like 94 yards.
Bingo.
You're totally right.
Bing, bing, bing.
You are totally right. That's not going to happen.
James has won.
If when it does, please feel free to lambaste me on Twitter. I don't care. I would love to see that happen.
I would never do that to you. I like you and respect you. I would...
I can't say
I laugh anything. Because I laugh because 2 weeks ago I hurt your feelings on the podcast, and I just don't believe that you wouldn't take your shot at me. I think I'm due
first
for,
of all
for that.
You didn't hurt my feelings, Jeremy. I don't have feelings.
So not even one? You don't have feeling?
Yep.
Let's move
I'm
on
Wilford
to
Brimley.
Let's move on to the next segment here. Oh dear, I do love
Wait,
a good
time out, Bobo. Did you, Bobo? Did you give your answer, or are you just going to give up on
I probably should at this point. I'm going to agree with James because James is my friend. Dang it. And Jeremy, you're my friend too. I'm gonna miss you when you're murdered and stuffed into a dumpster by the two-op group.
Please don't murder me.
Nope. I just had to get my Gilmore Girls reference in there. Woo! Oh, what? Like the one episode that I've seen of that show, and that was the line that was in it. That was awesome.
I hate you so much.
Right back at you,
oh,
man.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, okay. It's time now for Spread 'Em.
All right, hands on the hood and spread them.
The spread them line as of Tuesday night is Green Bay +3. So they're actually the underdog this week. So basically we're saying, usually I have try to have Chris explain this because he's the lawyery guy and he's good with technicalities and all that crap. But so basically if you think the Packers will win, you're going to say that they'll beat that spread of +3. If you think that the Packers will win by less than 3 or Atlanta will win, then you say that you're picking Atlanta. Is that right?
More or less.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So, Jeremy, I've got your name first on here again. So, you picking Green Bay or Atlanta in this scenario?
I really, really want to pick the Packers. 3 is not a huge number, so it's kind of a safe call to go either direction here. Like, you still have a good shot either way. I'm having a hard time deciding, honestly. Look, because I'm a Packer fan, I'm going to say the Packers. It's just 3 points. And sure, why the heck not?
Good for you. Never mind that you're last in this game right now. Doesn't matter. Yeah, just for the record, by the way, I was the only one that won spread them last week. Go me. It's all I've got right now. Just let me have this. All right, James, you get to go.
That's sad, man. I'm sorry to hear that. I think the Packers are going to win, so give me the Packers.
Will do. And I will also go with Green Bay, and we're going to get all of Chris's true falls and spread them and all that stuff, so we can keep him up to speed on this and all that good stuff. And I believe that's about the end of the show. So, Jeremy, we need to know the voicemail number because I never have it. That's kind of my gimmick now.
I just so happen to have it right here.
Fantastic.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you for listening to Title Town Sound. And thank you to all of our wonderful callers. It is really nice to hear your voices and respond to your calls. If you want to call into the voicemail, the number is 920-445-TTSO. Again, that is 920-445-8876. Okay? So, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for your phone calls. Thank you for the fun. We really enjoy doing this, but we enjoy doing this because of you guys, because you make this show interactive and fun. So we really appreciate that. Check out TitletownSoundoff.com. There is no recap this week. Chris is busy because he's a human, and that happens.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Who's busy?
Sorry, I mean James. James is busy.
Don't ever insult him like that again.
There are other great articles on the website to read. Plenty of recap of the game against the Bears. And definitely the breakdown coming up at the end of the week to get ready for the Falcons game. We will send that out in the newsletter. If you want to sign up for the newsletter, you can do that at TitletownSoundoff.com. Just look for the little button and click on it. And then fill in the thing, and we'll send you stuff in your emails. Please rate us on iTunes, because that's important. It helps people to find our show. Mm-hmm. And Babbo, do you have anything to say to end the show?
I do, actually. I have a couple of things that I want to note. One of us happens to be on What's the Score of the Sports News Quiz this week. In their latest edition, and it's not me.
Hi.
I know who it is.
It's James! So, yes, James was on the show against Annalise Jasinski and Nick Barry, and we won't tell you who won. You're going to have to go listen to their show, but I'm sure James did us proud.
I did my best.
He did.
You better have.
I listened to half the show. I know he got the first question that he was asked right, and I was impressed.
That, well, they asked what his name was.
Okay, technically that was the first question, but he answered the first sports question correctly, which was, when was the first World Series? And I think it was 1903. I was really impressed that he knew that.
Spoiler alert.
So good job, James. Check out What's the Score. And
that's the thing. I can't do basic life functions because that part of my brain isn't there. It's taken up by useless statistics.
Oh, I see. So you replaced your, you know, useful area of your brain with, like, the attic that you fill with Christmas stuff. And, yes. You know, like,
except
yeah, that's good.
Instead of Christmas stuff, it's, you know, like Hank Aaron's OPS from 1964.
Fantastic.
All right.
So also, James, yes, don't forget to pet your cat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. That's important. James, do you have anything to say to end the show?
Thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure you go rate us on iTunes too, please. We need those iTunes ratings. Please go there and be honest with us, especially if it's a 5, and let us know how you feel.
No, don't be honest with us. You give us 5 stars and a positive review, or we will find where you live and make negative things happen to your yard. So there. You can find the podcast on Stitcher. You can find the podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Now we just added them to those, so you can review us on there as well. I'm probably going to delete a bunch of crap from the end of the show because we are rambling on. So thank you for listening to the show. We will bring you another podcast next week. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.